look like I'm distracted. I am smiling at you behind my mask. It might not look like it, but I am very happy to see you here today. On this Good Friday, have you ever wondered why we call it Good Friday? Because when you think about it, from Jesus' perspective, even though he went to the cross willingly, he suffered and died for us. It was a tragic day. And the Germans actually call it Sorrowful Friday. And we can understand why. Holy Friday, and I've heard it called Great Friday as well. We call it Good Friday for many reasons, but I can understand why it's good. It's good because Jesus has made a way. With his suffering and death, he has made a way for us to connect back with the Father. And there is no other way for that connection to happen. If Jesus hadn't had that way, we would still be lost in our sin. Death would be the end for us. But death was arrested. Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin. Lost without hope, with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in when death was arrested and my life began. Isaiah 53 says, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." Let's pray. Father God, we remember today the pain and suffering of the cross and all that Jesus was willing to endure so that we could be set free. He paid the price, such a great sacrifice to offer us the gift of eternal life. Help us to never take for granted the huge gift of love on our behalf. Help us to remember the cost of it all. Forgive us for being too busy or too distracted to fully recognize what you have freely given, what you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, that by your wounds we are healed. Thank you that because of your huge sacrifice we can be free. Thank you that sin and death have been conquered and that your power is everlasting. Thank you that we can say with great hope, "It is finished," for we know what's still to come. And that death has lost its sting. We praise you, for you are making all things new. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The first of our readings today is from Luke 23:26-31. All of the readings today follow on in this chapter. We will be reading from the New Living Translation. As they led Jesus away, a man named Simon, who was from Cyrene, happened to be coming in from the countryside. The soldiers seized him and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd trailed behind, including many grief-stricken women. But Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are coming when they will say, 'Fortunate indeed are the women who are childless, the wombs that have not borne a child and the breasts that have never nursed.' People will beg the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and plead with the hills, 'Bury us.' For if these things are done when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dirty?"
This reading is from Luke 23:32-38. Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross, And the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. The crowd watched and the leaders scoffed. "He saved others," they said. "Let him save himself if he is really God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." A sign was fastened above him with these words, "This is the King of the Jews."
Continue to read from Luke 23, 39 to 43. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, "So you are the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and to us while you're at it." But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God, even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes. But this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Our readings for today conclude with verses from Luke 23, 44 to 49. This section is entitled "The Death of Jesus." By this time it was about noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. Then Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with those words, he breathed his last. When the Roman officer overseeing the execution saw what had happened, he worshipped God and said, "Surely this man was innocent." And when all the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw what had happened, they went home deep in sorrow. But Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching. May God reveal to us his truth through the reading of his word. Amen.
Good Friday. A hope that shines brightly even in hard times. Well, Good Friday is really a day of contrasts, isn't it? A day of despair, yet a day of hope. A day of darkness, but a day where that hope shines brightly. A day of death, yet in God's upside down way, a day of great victory. Even in hard times is the second part of that topic. Well, this was indeed a hard time. I don't know if there are any harder times than a death on a cross. There's no doubt about that. And we can never really begin to understand just how hard, how difficult that would have been for Jesus. One of the songs that we sing says, "I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross." Now, in no way downplaying the sacrifice that Jesus made, it would also have been a terribly hard day for all of those who were there, for those who watched, for those who loved Jesus and those that followed him. So today we've listened to an account of Jesus' final journey, read to us in those, thank you, by our four readers, and they've all come from Luke chapter 23. There's so many stories of others. It's all right, it's worked. So many others that we read along the way, so many characters of the cross. So I want to have a look at some of those characters of the cross. In our first reading, we heard about Simon. Simon from Cyrene, an African man. Now it would be where the modern day Libya is. He was a foreigner who was coming into the city from the country. He just happened to be there as Jesus was walking by. I suppose it depends which way you consider it. He was either in the right place at the right time or the wrong place at the wrong time. Then there were the women who mourned for Jesus and they wailed for him. Jesus addresses them as daughters of Jerusalem. But he stops as he hears them weeping and he says, "Don't cry for me, cry for yourselves," because he knows what's coming. In our second reading then, we read about the two criminals who were crucified alongside Jesus. Two criminals led out to die on that fateful day. One who chooses to mock Jesus and the other who recognises that he is God and he pleads with him, "Remember me." We read of the soldiers who no doubt had seen this all before. This was part of their job. Nothing overly unusual. They gambled for Jesus' clothes, we were told. Did they know that this was no ordinary crucifixion? The religious leaders who had plotted against Jesus, they called for his arrest. They had pushed for him to be put to death. Then in the final reading, we hear about the Roman soldier, the centurion, as he's referred to often, pondering just who this man is and realizing, surely this man is the Son of God. We also see in the characters across those who loved Jesus, who would have been there, his family, standing at a distance, watching this all go on. No doubt feeling deeply in despair, I'd imagine they'd be there unable to watch yet unable to turn away, feeling such grief and torture themselves, but not able to leave Jesus there. So in times of crisis or injustice, those times really reveal our character. How we handle the bad days, the dark times, it says a lot about us, doesn't it, if we can cope in a crisis. It's often through those difficult and painful times that the most growth occurs. It's where we find out what we're truly made of. And at times like that, it's when we get to dig deep. When we're knocked down, when we fall over, we can get on our knees and ask God, seek God, go after God like we never have before. So the past 12 months, if you think back to last Easter we couldn't gather, COVID-19 was just grabbing hold and we were in lockdown. Here we are wearing masks in church for the first Sunday that we've done this. We get facts and figures on our screens, on the radio, on the TV, on our phones every day. And one of those terrible numbers is that over 2 million people around the world have died from COVID-19. It's been dark and it's been difficult. It's been a time of uncertainty, especially for those who are elderly, vulnerable, those with health problems. It's disrupted us, our health system, our education. It's disrupted our travel plans, our work, and so many opportunities to gather with friends and family. But aren't we glad that Australia, especially here on the Sunshine Coast, have been so... We've had it so lightly, really. We've been so much less impacted than most places around the world. But we're no strangers to crisis in our country anyway. Floods, bushfires, droughts, cyclones, economic instability, wars. Every generation has experienced its own unique set of trials and tribulations, haven't we? These difficult times can reveal our character. And so today we're going to talk about Jesus' character. How was his character revealed in this? There's a couple of groups that emerged and support groups, and I know the Sunshine Coast Council got together during the COVID crisis early on and wanted to see how they could support people. Now, on Facebook, I know not many of you are on Facebook, but on Facebook there are two groups that I joined with pandemic in their name. One was called the Prayer Pandemic, where people could constantly support each other and ask for prayer. And the other one, I don't know if you've seen, is called the Kindness Pandemic. Let's spread kindness around the world as a pandemic. Now, that page started on the 14th of March last year, and within 2 weeks, 500,000 people joined. You see, people find light, they find hope in these times of despair. And that's what Good Friday gives to us, hope that shines brightly, even in the hard times. Now, Good Friday, no doubt, was a dark day for Jesus. An understatement, for sure. An absolute tragedy for anyone to experience, but this is God's Son, Jesus, sinless, without any fault, being crucified on the cruel cross. What a harsh, excruciating death. It's the kind of pain that I don't think any of us could ever begin to imagine. Jesus had prayed in the garden, he'd wept, he had sweat drops of blood as he poured out in despair his heart to his Father. If only I don't have to do this, God. If you could just take this cup away from me. If only there was another way. But then, hauled before an unjust legal system, rejected by his friends and those closest to him, sentenced to this ghastly death. On this dark day of crisis, this injustice, as I said, what will we learn about Jesus' character? Firstly, Jesus cares for others. As he's led away to be crucified, he turns, as I said, to the daughters of Jerusalem, the wailing women. He speaks to them and to their fears. These women are friends and family of Jesus. They've followed him from Galilee. These are the women who will stay with him to the end. These are the women who will be first to the tomb to witness his resurrection. And remember, at this time, many of Jesus' disciples are in fear of their lives. What is the likelihood that they might be dragged along with a crowd, recognised, made to carry a cross, maybe crucified beside Jesus? This time and this place, culturally, the women are not really recognised as anyone of any value or worth. But Jesus not only stops when he's got bigger things to deal with, he's about to be crucified, he stops to talk to the women and he stops to encourage them. All through the Gospels, we actually read about Jesus interacting with people who were not seen as important people. Jesus shocked and surprised them then. The religious leaders were not just shocked, but they were absolutely objectionable about Jesus' scandalous behaviour. They didn't like it. How dare he hang around with these kind of people? And in the Salvation Army, we talk about our mission to the last, the least, and the lost. I love that phrase. It's a great phrase. Jesus' upside-down view, this kingdom principle that we've talked about before, it really is about others, others that aren't significant. The last being first, the bottom of the heap being elevated, those not seen as having any significance as VIPs. And in this place here, in this church and on this site, we have so many people that come across our path every day. We regularly pray that we would grasp each and every opportunity to show that care that Jesus showed to others. Jesus demonstrated that right through his ministry until the very end. May we always make others our priority here as well. Now, as they came to the place called the Skull, where he was to be crucified, Luke tells us that Jesus prays for the Roman soldiers. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what we're doing. Instead of anger and bitterness towards the Roman guards, Jesus asked the Father to forgive them. His mercy is extraordinary. He's concerned about the welfare of those who have stripped him and mocked him, those who've nailed him to a cross. Jesus had every right to complain, to yell, to tell them off, to shout injustice. He could have been on the cross and yelled, "Hey, stop it. That's not right. How dare you do this to me?" But no, he looked upon them with mercy. As he is crucified between two criminals, he promises to one of them, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." He gives him hope. So Jesus provides hope and mercy. Being God, Jesus offers forgiveness and salvation to others. Not on the basis of the good life that anyone has lived, but as an act of mercy and grace. Nothing I can do can make God love me anymore. Nothing that I've done will turn him away from me. That criminal, he wasn't promised salvation and acceptance because he'd lived a good life. He was a criminal. He was there for a reason. And that's the beautiful thing. This is the great story of Easter, that God is willing to die an unjust death so that we may live. God welcomes us and he accepts us, not on the basis of our good deeds, but unconditionally as an act of loving grace and mercy. Just the next one, thanks guys. Christ Jesus, from 1 Timothy we read, Christ Jesus gave himself to redeem the whole human race. That was the proof at the right time that God wants everyone to be saved. Jesus gave his life for whosoever will believe. Hallelujah. What a saviour. A story here of forgiveness. After a long shift at the fire department, Matt Swatzel fell asleep while he was driving. And while he was asleep driving, he crashed into another vehicle. Sadly, this accident took the life of the driver of the other car, a pregnant mum, June Fitzgerald. June and her unborn child were killed. And Fitzgerald's 19-month daughter was also badly injured in the accident. June Fitzgerald's husband was a pastor in the local church. Instead of fighting for justice or demanding a cruel punishment for this man, he asked for the man to receive a diminished sentence. Fitzgerald began to meet with the man who had caused the death of his wife and his unborn child and had injured his toddler. So he started to meet Swatzel for coffee and conversation. Many years later, those two men are close friends. Fitzgerald said, "You forgive as you have been forgiven." Jesus' death offers us forgiveness. We can know forgiveness because of the cross. Jesus provides us hope and mercy, and he asks us as his followers to do the same. The criminal crucified alongside Jesus could see that he was in a very different situation to him. "We are punished justly for what we're doing," the criminal says, "but this man's done nothing wrong." The Roman centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God. "Surely, this man was a righteous man." I suppose it's a little ironic that a Jewish criminal and a Roman centurion could see Jesus in such a way. But the religious leaders of the day could not. But it's not really surprising when we look from the very beginning, from Jesus' birth to Mary and Joseph, God reveals himself to the most unlikely people, to the Samaritan woman, to the blind, to the lame, to people begging on the streets, and the tax collectors who were hated by the Jewish authorities. Not just on Good Friday, but every day, Jesus cares for others. Jesus provides hope and mercy, and Jesus leads people to God. So on Good Friday, on this Good Friday, today, right here, right now, we're invited to come before Jesus. So do we come like Simon, just kind of there accidentally? But he got involved, didn't he? Even though he didn't really mean to be there, he got engaged. He might not have known what he was seeking, but the call to follow Jesus is irresistible. And we may find that we don't know why we're just drawn. We might just be drawn to be there and we don't really know why. Or perhaps we're like the women who loved Jesus dearly and his followers who followed him till the end. And maybe today you're feeling overwhelmed with your love for Jesus. Well, amen. Praise God for that and let it grow even more. Are you like the criminal who asked Jesus, please remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Are you seeking after his mercy and grace? Or like the Roman centurion, do we come with awe and wonder as we realize, wow, this man really is God? Whichever way, the important thing is that we do come before Jesus. And whether today that be sitting right where you are in your seat and coming to him in your heart, or coming to this place. Either way, let's come today. So in the Salvation Army, we often use the term mercy seat. And one of the things we've said is Jesus offers mercy. That term recognises that we do have a God who is full of mercy. God's grace and his death on the cross is for you, is for me. The injustice and the violence of humanity is all poured out upon Jesus. And his response to us? Grace, forgiveness. His love and a hope that shines brightly. In the words of Paul, God wants us to know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Good Friday shows to us the immensity of God's love. Last night we had a tenebrae service, which some of you came along to, and it's a time of silence. And I was saying this morning, it's difficult sometimes for us to just be still and silent. We prefer the full-on activity. But in a time of silence today, I'm going to ask you to consider one of these prayers that are on the screen. What is it that is your prayer today? The first prayer I've got there is to thank God for his love and his merciful forgiveness. We are, each of us, a recipient of God's love, whether we realize that or not. Today, will you spend some time quietly thanking God for his love and his mercy to you? Remember Paul's words, I pray that you might know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So will you pray today that God will cause you to know that love, to really know it, to experience God's love in all its width and length, height and depth? And thirdly, will you be praying today for others? Pray for others that they might know the loving mercy of God at this time. Maybe someone in your family or a friend comes to mind immediately who desperately needs to know this love and this mercy. So during this time, I'm going to ask you to pray through some of those prayers or your own prayers, just silently as you sit and wait. Father God, we are so thankful. We thank you today for your love, for your forgiveness, for your great mercy. Lord, we can't begin to really comprehend how much you love us, how great your love for us is. but we just want to say thank you. Lord, I pray that we may know and understand and experience just how wide, how long, how high, and how deep your love is. May we know that love. May we be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Lord, for others who may come to mind, we just think of their names now and we ask, God, that you would touch their lives, that on this most significant day, you would just speak into their hearts. Lord, may you in your love and your mercy become real to them. Amen. We're going to listen to a clip, Man of Sorrows. And it is, again, as Derek said, for a couple of things, it's a bit different to what might come to mind when you think of Man of Sorrows. Some of the words on this clip say, "By his own he was betrayed, the sin of man and the wrath of God has been on Jesus laid. But silent, as he stood accused, beaten, mocked and scorned, bowing to the Father's will, he took a crown of thorns. That rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honour unto thee." We're going to listen to that clip. And if you want to continue in that prayer, and if you'd like to come to this place and you'd like to kneel and pray, or if you'd like to stand and have someone pray with you, I invite you to do that now as we listen to this last clip.
No plan B. God didn't think at the beginning of the world, "Oh, well, we'll make Adam and Eve and we'll see how this one goes. And if it goes off the rails, I guess we can figure it out." No, from the beginning of the world, God knew how it was going to happen. Jesus knew that he would come. And when Jesus emptied himself of all his glory and humbled himself and was obedient to death, even death on a cross, he made a way. And as wonderful and as amazing and as crazy as that sound, that was always God's plan to make a way. Because he knew that we couldn't make that way by ourselves. He knew that by ourselves we would stumble and fall. We're human in every regard. We have choices to make. And our choice naturally turns to ourselves. And God knew that. And God made a way. And I am so grateful that he did that. I'm so grateful that Jesus came and made a way for us to be friends with God again. That is why Good Friday is good. Because Jesus made a way. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the way that was made. I thank you for the sacrifice that was given for us. Well, we may not fully understand it or appreciate it, but Lord, we know that it was the only way that things could happen. The weight of the sin of the world upon you, Jesus, so that we could be reconciled. We could be friends again. We could be one with the Father. We could be called children of God. Lord, we thank you for that sacrifice. We give you all the honor and praise today. The wonderful cross. Lord, we thank you for the cross. In your name, dear Jesus.
Let's stand and sing, "Thank You for the Cross."
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns, you reign victorious. High and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns, you reign victorious. High and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
So let us go now into the day, not with grief and sorrow, but with hope and even joy. It's Friday, but we know that Sunday's coming. Go into the day not in defeat and loss, but in awe at what God has done for us. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Go in peace. God has made a way for us. Go with the assurance of new life and light. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Bless you all.